Good morning. Today is Tuesday, May the 18th. Joining us this morning from the UC blah, 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 Extension, Yana Valakovic. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
You like the way I just kind of mushed it together?
Yeah. Well, it's all fluid.
All right. You got a book over there by your purse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you were going
to
give it up there, and then it clicked.
Oh, this is even better. All right.
All right. You can't use one that's already been dated, because then I have an unfair advantage.
Why is rice thrown at a wedding?
Why is white rice thrown at a wedding? White? Because roses were too expensive.
Since early Roman times, some grain, usually wheat, has been associated with the wedding ceremony. Wheat, a symbol of...
fertility.
Correct. Was carried in the bride's hand and worn by her in the form of a garland. As the bride left the church, grains of the wheat were tossed at her, and young girls rushed to pick up the grains that had actually touched the bride.
Ooh.
Hmm. It goes on and on, but...
And then somehow rice became the
during
cheap
the
alternative?
Reign of Queen Elizabeth I, wheat was no longer tossed at brides, but was instead baked into small cakes that were crumbled and tossed over the bride's head. That sounds a little dirty. Later, the small cakes were replaced by large ones. Oh, that's getting even more fun. Maybe that's why we throw pies at people. I don't know. The change in the ceremony left the wedding guests feeling deprived, since they had nothing to toss at the bride. At that time, rice was cheap, clean, and white. It seemed a good substitute for the more expensive wheat cakes.
Ah, see, there was a financial component.
Yeah, there was economizing.
Yeah.
I don't like the throwing at the bride part, having been a bride.
Loaves of bread?
Yes. Crumbled cake.
Well, maybe that converted into the wedding cake later on. Or maybe that was some kind of a way for food. You know, for the honeymoon or something.
Maybe. Huh? It seems like it also supports the mice and rat population a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, now rice is kind of taboo, isn't it? Because of...
For birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It blows up and messes things up and stuff.
Right. Things should eat what they're supposed to eat. And
I don't know what you're... What do you do now? Applaud politely?
I think it's seeds.
A bird seed, okay.
Not grains, seeds.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, you look at the bird seed mix.
Yeah, it's not the bag.
Right, it's got seeds in
it. Yeah. Well, I guess it's better than throwing little seedlings.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, my chickens would like that, though.
Yeah, but, you know, do they still have the little redwood tree starters in the little plastic tubes?
Yeah.
Where?
John Steen, which is a company that makes redwood seedlings, is the primary manufacturer. They're in McKinleyville, up on Dow's Prairie. And I guess we haven't been touristing these days, right? So I tend to see them in those redwood tourist shops.
Yeah, I remember, you know, like the Rex's Redwood Gifts and some of the old stuff, right?
The
one log cabins and things like that they would be pretty prolific, but...
You know,
where do you get them now?
You know what's funny about that is how many phone calls I get from people across the country that had one of those redwood seedlings and then took it home, and now it's much bigger.
Oh, really? So it survived?
Oh, yeah. And then and then they've got questions, and now they have a 40-foot tall redwood.
Like, how do I cut it? Where's the closest mill?
And so I field questions from people all over the country with their... overgrown redwood in their backyard.
I thought that you would needed to have a fog bank for them to survive because of how they process and function.
Well,
obviously not.
Think about, you see redwoods in Redding. You see redwoods in Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
So you redwood is a pretty tolerant species, and if you water it and keep its feet wet, basically, and cool, then it will survive. Will it thrive? No, I mean, it's like when you take me and you put me in Redding. I can survive, but I'm not thriving there. Melting.
So where is the weirdest place you got a call from somebody wanting to have their...
I mean, I've had like Michigan and South Carolina and Arkansas. I mean,
somehow that's kind of cool.
It is cool. You know, actually, I took one recently from a botanical gardens in the United Kingdom with some of the early Darwin gardens and asking, I can't remember whether it was redwood or what it was, but that was not a call. That was an email.
Okay.
But, yeah, fun stuff. When I finally looked up who this person was, like, oh, this is a real thing.
This is somebody I need to pay attention to.
These are 200-and-something-year-old gardens.
And they had a redwood tree in it?
I can't remember what the issue. They had some tree issue that was common to hear.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Having a single redwood tree would be like a flagpole. Right?
You know. Well, they tend to be a little more stout.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's tough to tie anything to them. I get that part, too.
Right. And do you know that redwood is grown in New Zealand now? And that's
I knew New Zealand just because of the similar climate.
Right. And doing very well there. So they're growing it with
like
anticipation.
Taking over?
No. They're growing it in a commercial setting.
So it's in a nursery.
No. I mean, for lumber production.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder what their harvest plans are like versus ours.
For an introduced species?
Whoops. Yeah, somebody's got to go to the dollar bill here.
Oh. No, it's sort of new market opportunities, new locations to grow. There's actually quite a bit of development also in the Willamette Valley. Folks are planting redwood for
really
commercial interests, and
because of the active mills that are there.
No, because of
demand?
The higher value that redwood has, and you know, so they're
not over Western red cedar right now.
Well, no,
holy
not over
Toledo,
not over any wood product right now. But the thing that I wonder about is who will be able to develop a mill that will be able to process that redwood. Redwood is fairly specific in how you structure your mill, so.
Oh, really? So it's not interchangeable with fir? Or?
Well, I mean, all of our mills here, they mill one species at a time.
Right.
And everything's set up for that species, and then they clean up and they switch.
Okay. So it's just having that flexibility.
Right.
Or option five.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a little bit of a surprise, wouldn't it? It's not working.
Well, and debarking is different. And
yeah, a little bit
different.
More necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, is 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long, on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop, or at least attempting to, with Valakovic. Yeah, redwood trees, you know, for a lot of folks that have grown here, we might feel like we have a certain amount of knowledge. For folks that have relocated here, either they tend to have far less or a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm. There's many stewards and students of redwood, yeah.
And then you got the tourists that are blowing through town looking for the last one.
Right.
Okay. What are some of the basic aspects or elements or facts of redwood trees that oftentimes are either forgotten or overlooked?
Well,
not those dawn redwoods we were talking about during
the
break.
Not the dawn redwoods. So, no. Redwood is Sequoia sempervirens, which means sempervirens means always living.
Oh, it doesn't mean our local interpretation or application of the
word. Well, it's a sprouting species, which is one of the only conifers that actually sprouts, which is, I think, unique and interesting. And that means that when a redwood is cut, it will sprout. That means sometimes you'll see in a log deck there are sprouting logs, even though there's no roots attached. It's unlikely that they'll actually be able to reestablish, but I always find it interesting that you can see you know, the log deck sprouting.
Well, or horizontal trees in the woods.
Sure,
with
sure.
You'll,
but yeah, but
up.
They don't tend to make it. They push out a flush of these, you know, these epicormic sprouts, and that's kind of where it goes. But
epicormic, is that a new spice in the
yeah,
spice aisle?
Yeah, it is. So epi. Epicorm on the skin.
Oh, okay.
Right. And that's what happens when people get tired of the redwood in Eureka or Arcata and then go and give it the shave job, you know, the poodle cut, and then
right.
it all resprouts out, which is like the worst thing to ever do to a tree, in my opinion.
Yeah, kind of. It's like the cone of shame for a dog.
Pretty much. And yeah. then topping a redwood is the next worst thing to do to a redwood, because you never will have a strong, it, you know, with the with a conifer, you're always going to have a dominant leader, and so a new one will form, and it never holds on as well as the original one, which means that it's very vulnerable to wind. And so those tops break up and fly in our big windstorms.
Oh, so they're widowmakers, but they're coming from the top rather than from
right,
branches.
Right, right, and I've seen them move long distances, 50 feet or more through the air.
Because they're exposed at the top.
Right, right. So other fun facts about redwood. Redwood rarely reproduces by seed. It is one mostly of clonal reproduction, meaning because of that sprouting capacity, which works flawlessly, they don't need to reproduce by seed. Redwood has some of the smallest cones of any tree type.
Yeah,
right?
Isn't that interesting? That yeah,
like a nickel in size.
Right.
and seed. Is not reliable for the species, so it takes a long time for redwoods to develop mature seed, meaning the tree needs to grow for many years. Like the sweet spot starts at about age 60 before you start getting a tree with a reliable seed production, and then it's certain years that it cycles and will have, you know, good, well-formed, fertile seed.
Triggered by moisture or weather or just chronological? Or they don't know.
Astrology, I don't know. I mean, literally, we don't know.
It's like burls on the side, right? Yeah.
Well, that's a genetic product, right? So, you know, the development of a burl is part of the parent, you know, DNA. So not every tree makes those burls, but when you see them, it's you know, it's part of that organism's history. So you can't force a burl to be made on a tree that
it's
doesn't
like
really...
It's not like a clam with a pearl.
Right. You can't
so
just
speak.
Sort of turn that gene on, right? You either have it or you don't.
Yeah,
and like you'll see, for example, especially if you go to the parks and look at old growth, where some redwood will be smooth in bark all the way to the ground, and others will be surrounded by lots and lots of little sprouts, and you know you can't get anywhere near that tree because it's got all that fuzzy stuff sticking all over the place, and so that propensity to sprout is genetically triggered.
With the root system itself, you know that my. Foggy memory
mm-hmm.
is that the root system is one of the unique things about redwood trees too, because ratio to its size.
Yeah,
that it is not like a normal tree. Is there any thought why it's so shallow?
You know, I've never really thought that through. I mean, redwoods are shallow rooting. They don't have a big tap root. They're a little different than an oak, for example, which will have a long tap root. I think redwood is just really adaptable, and it's you know it's it can handle flooding, it can handle heavy saturation rain, it can handle wildfire. It's got a ability to repair itself, and that makes it pretty nimble and pretty flexible. And I mean, it's got a really good competitive strategy. For survival, it just doesn't have a good strategy for movement. So the seeds don't fly very far. So redwood is where redwood is. You know, it's not like big leaf maple where, you know, you see the seeds and they have those little helicopter
yeah,
wings
right.
on them. And those will, you know, they'll
go
move
the
long distance.
Yeah.
This is a tree species that kind of is where it is.
Security in numbers.
Right. It doesn't mean, I mean... ancient redwoods were found all over the western continent of the United States.
Yeah, that footprint was much larger than the way it's depicted
right.
by a lot of folks.
Right.
Is that ignorance or is that just political expediency?
Oh, no. It's just more that, you know, trees with climate move all around, right? And we've got all kinds of things that are shifting and adjusting. But in our current... you know, geologic time period, redwood is where redwood's been.
So it is historical climate change, then?
Sure.
It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic from the UC Cooperative Extension at Spruce Point. You guys still got a couple spruce trees out there, right?
Yeah.
Couple tokens out there?
Yeah. We okay. do. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anyone really remembers that that's called Spruce Point.
Really?
Under 50.
What's it referred to as?
I don't think anybody refers to it as a specific region anymore.
So if I say, okay, where are you guys located?
I say at the Humboldt Hill exit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
There's
sad.
Some old maps that'll have Spruce Point on it. Yeah. I know what it is, and people of certain generations
well,
know
Pine, what it is. Pine Hill is still Pine Hill.
Right. But
right?
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of pine trees there.
Well, yeah.
I think we're going to have a tree day. In
well,
your parking lot.
We should.
And we're going to tear up some asphalt and drop in some spruce.
Right. Well, we have eucalyptus outside our office.
Yeah. I don't know why those things came here, other than they grow fast and they probably handle moisture.
Well, the storyline I have, and I, you know, before my time, so whether my story's
Oh, accurate. No, you're going to default to the over 50 crowd on this one again. Okay.
Is that eucalyptus was planted specifically for peelers and to make a running board in the older cars, right? So, you know, our dashes
right.
are used to have real wood in them, not this faux plastic thing.
More than just Jaguars.
Right.
I've seen real wood in a Jaguar that used to drive out here.
Did you?
Okay. Yes. And I was very jealous of it, but couldn't fit in the car, so I just had the impressions.
Yes.
But yeah, real wood.
Real wood. And so yeah. it was planted specifically for making peelers and making veneer and a decorative wood for automobiles and those running boards. Whether
now, if we had an automobile factory in the neighborhood, that would make sense. But
I don't know. Well,
that's interesting.
Well, I mean, the eucalyptus trees between Eureka and Arcata.
I had always heard that was a windbreak.
Right. That's what, I believe that too.
At least that was better than Monterey pines.
Right. They last longer.
No, it's just better than Monterey pines.
Yeah, okay.
Those things are nasty.
All right. You're sort of a tree elitist here.
Absolutely.
It's true. I don't really like Monterey pines.
And you know about the cherry trees, right? The flowering cherries?
No.
It was, my understanding is that it was a... And I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm wrong, that there was a city councilwoman in the 60s.
That loved flowering cherries?
And thought that was, and it became very trendy. And they just, and that's, you know, where you see all of them with a really thick stalk or stem.
Sure. Sure. Trunk, I mean, whatever. There are plants of a generation, right? There are,
yeah.
Plants are fashionable in that same way, right? Now we're into spiky things, agave and... grasses
oh, really? Oh.
And you know like the landscape.
Let me know when azaleas come back in because I'll be all over that
right,
one.
Right, yeah. Right. But if you look at a newly constructed home, it has a certain landscaping look about it.
Yeah, style.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, my houses have rhododendrons and azaleas and magnolias and camellias and
yeah,
it was
magnolias
built in 55 and it's also got a bunch of junipers and
oh, you haven't ripped those out, huh?
They are gone, actually. See?
Good. Well, some of this, the discussions that are now kicked around with fire and droughts and things like that, plant trees that are drought tolerant,
mm-hmm.
Are there trees that are drought tolerant that can also live with wet feet? So we're standing next to one of those posters. I say, okay, Yana, give me five choices.
Right.
What would those be? And roadies don't count.
Okay, they're a
tree.
They're a bush.
Yeah.
They're a shrub.
Yeah. Even
I think it's important to look at trees and how they use water and whether they use water efficiently. It's not my total expertise, but we certainly do talk about the right plant in the right place and making sure that that plant is appropriately sized for the location, that you can handle its growth.
Grow up into the power lines.
It's going to fit. And you understand, especially if you're on the Humboldt County coastline, that trees will often exceed their tag in terms of what the expected growth is.
20 to 40 feet turns out to be 55 or
60 sometimes, because we have deep soils here and enough resources for most trees to do just fine. The bigger the leaves, for example, the more capacity for drying the plant has. So when wind comes up, it has to be able to, shut down that photosynthesis process and be able to conserve moisture. So those stomata have to close. So big, showy things are not necessarily going to do as well.
They just need more water.
They need more water, right? So needled species tend to be a little better at conserving water than big flat-leaved things. I think the message I've been trying to say to folks is don't overplant. Really think about what you want and choose a few things and do them well.
So if you want showpieces, don't clutter them.
Yeah.
Have five or six that really pop.
Right. I mean, it's about design and making sure the plant is where you want it to be. I mean, I watched my neighbors just planted six fruit trees, and they're about 3 feet apart from each other. And unless
you didn't put your cape on and go flying over the fence and talk to them?
No, it's not my job to. But really understanding the amount of space that a plant is going to need is important.
Yeah, unless they're spiky, they're going to have a hedge.
Right. And they're not going to, they don't look like they're going to espalier them either.
Do what?
Have you ever seen, you can take apple trees in particular and put in like a trellis system. And
make them like grapes.
Yeah, and make them like grapes, yeah.
Oh, what was the word?
Espalier? It's a French word.
For growing grapes?
I don't even know what it means. But I was thinking back, though. Okay, so you were asking me about the dawn redwood, and we were talking about the expansion of where were redwoods found in geologic history and that they were on the continental western United States. What I find interesting, so little known fact, is if anyone's been to Founders Grove, which is on the Avenue of the Giants, right at the junction of the South Fork and the Main Stem Eel. Founders Grove were named...
Okay, let's go old. Where Dyerville used to be.
Exactly, yes.
We may be going back a little further than 50 years, but that's okay.
So the founders founded Save the Redwoods League for one reason. Do you know why?
Because Rockefeller walked through and saw that grove and knew that there was a harvest plan and they were about to cut it?
Nope. Because they were paleontologists. And why would that be important?
Okay, now wait a minute. They saw the seashells on and fossils at Rio Del?
No, they were in Montana on early dinosaur digs looking for T-Rex. And the fossil record, they found redwood in connection with these dinosaur digs. They found the evidence of redwood in Montana. It blew their mind.
That it was in Montana or that it was of that age?
That redwood has been around in the continental United States for such a long time. So they came home totally inspired by redwood, and that really evoked their interest in redwood conservation.
And getting Rockefeller's money to help.
Well, that I'm sure helped, but their paleontological interests really were the big driver.
That was the trigger.
Yeah.
Huh. Hey, Winston, we're going to go to a break. So many things go on behind the scenes around here. It's 844.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Jana Valakovic. Jana, what is going on with lumber prices? I think a lot of us can say, well, there's building in Sonoma County in the valley, the fire, okay, good. That there's a lot of interest in local, okay, and we're seeing some of these things. But this isn't just a regional thing. This is far, far greater than just Northwestern California, Northern California, Southern Oregon. This is something else, and we've heard, well, that we weren't running all shifts
right
because of the virus.
Right.
Okay, but a lot of these places are now automated, so that doesn't really hold a lot of water. Well, we couldn't get the product to market. Well, that really doesn't seem to hold a lot of water, or couldn't deliver it cost effectively.
Right.
Well, that one went out the window about 6 months ago. You know,
right.
It's just a pass through. Is it demand? Is it supply? Is it yes?
It's both supply and demand. It's an interesting, you know, it's like why you can't buy a car right now because there aren't any computer chips, because the car manufacturing industry, as I have been shared, made some calculations about what consumer demand would be and didn't anticipate how
missed
much.
Missed horribly.
Missed horribly. Well, the forest products industry was trying to do predictions last year based on, you know, what happened in January, February, March, where everybody just hunkered down and were really tight with our money because who knew where we were going to go.
Shock.
Right? We were all in shock. And then what happened is everyone was home, and the repair and remodel markets started to boom. And all of a sudden, maybe you had your college kids home, your family needs were different, you needed separate offices and space for everybody to be in their own workstation at home and live there. And so people started expanding on their homes, interest rates were down, so it's possible to refi, all these things. So demand just exploded, and anticipated demand was somewhere different. And so the amount of lumber or, you know, logs bought in anticipation of what was going to be has been a little bit insufficient. So we're going through a difficult period.
Logs bought or logs brought to market also?
So, right, logs brought to market, right? So just getting
The whole channel.
Okay. People were thinking, oh, well, maybe we should ramp down because we don't want to have a bunch of stuff sitting there and not going out, right? You kind of want to anticipate, like toilet paper we were in the early part of the COVID world. You know, you want to get that flow to
Got
match.
Enough juice for your hands? I can get you cases, yeah.
Right? So, you know, we're in that period of adjustment. Everybody's ramped up now, but it's just going to take a little while. And
are there any projections where in that bottleneck will actually process through?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would think I don't know the answer, but I think we're getting closer to coming out of that bottleneck.
Maybe by the end of the year.
Maybe by the end of the year. But interest rates have remained low. And then the housing market's done some really interesting things. And as has been explained to me, there are four phases of home ownership: entry-level home, family-level home, retirement home, care home. And no one has wanted.
Who thinks about number four? Not me. Uh-uh.
Well, but no one has wanted to transition to some kind of next assisted living stage because it was a very terrifying place to be. And so what happened is that movement across those four phases, one end stopped. And so we just haven't seen that continued shifting. And so there's been housing stock lack of availability, interest rates are down, you know, so incredible demand. So we'll adjust out of that when people start to feel comfortable and safe again.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we're going to start seeing the logging trucks on the road.
Oh, you will. Yeah.
Again, to the same extent, or maybe even greater, just in the region, just as to signs that it's the supply is starting to match the demand.
Yeah.
Because I figure as long as they've got a log deck, they're putting it
right,
through
but
the
if
mills.
You, like if you look at the Scotia lumber side, you don't see wood stacked up.
Right.
So when wood's stacked up, that means the market's not moving. When there's no, almost nothing in the yard, that means everything's going out.
It's like car lots.
Yeah.
Nothing there, there's nothing there.
Right?
You want to haggle on a rig? You're not in a real position of power on this one.
No. We'll get back to normal something soon, I think.
Good deal. Positive words to end on. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, you bet.
See everybody tomorrow.